Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Joanna Turner, who is an international speaker and leading spiritual success mentor and former chartered accountant. She is a mentor to female entrepreneurs and specializes in busting money blocks and helping them to alchemize fear into flow and awaken their infinite possibility. She acts as a bridge between the spiritual and business worlds, combining her strong business acumen gained from spending 17 years in finance with her years of spiritual practice, including being a shamanic Reiki practitioner. She is the founder of Akashic Alchemy, teaching people to read their own Akashic records using her simple technique to align to their soul purpose and beyond. She's a digital nomad and has been staying in my house while I've been away. Hey, welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me stay in your beautiful house. It's been just awesome. It's been amazing. I think we did like a life switch.
We did do a life switch.
I think it was just like right out of that movie, The Holiday.
Oh, that's so cool.
It really felt like that.
To kick off this conversation, because you and I could talk 4 hours.
And we have.
Yes, we have. What does adulting mean to you? What does being an adult mean?
Oh, gosh. So I think I was really responsible when I was a little kid. And I think I let that get in the way of me having a lot of fun growing up and in my early adulthood. Mm-hmm. So I think it meant being super responsible, really serious, like taking everything, and just being really a little boring, to be quite honest. And so I actually have sort of went the other way and rebelled against it a little bit and sort of claimed back who I am and myself. And then I'm redefining what being an adult needs to be for me, which is taking care of all the things I need to do, but also having fun. And it's really allowing me in this next phase of my life to be the person I want to be and live my own life. And I've been spending some time in Glastonbury, felt like I've gone from the maiden to the mother. And it's that shift in energy and that's really allowed me to sort of grow up in a sense. And I was really resistant to doing that because I'm single and have no children. And so that shift into being an adult for me, I've been really resistant to because I thought it had to be a certain way and look a certain way. And my life doesn't look anything like the traditional lifestyle. I'm a nomad. Nearly 38, probably by the time this comes out, I will be. And traveling the world and living this beautiful life. But it's been absolutely 100% necessary for me to become myself. So it's been a beautiful journey. And I think continuing to redefine what adulthood means. I think sometimes when we haven't had a brilliant role model or we don't want what our family or our parents had, we can tend to sort of go so far the opposite way that it's not actually that useful. So for me, everything in my life, because I'm a person of extremes, is trying to find balance in the middle and make it actually work for me. And
I totally love that. And I really, really get it. You know, when I was coming out of the film industry, when I was 28, 29, kind of, you know, looking back and in hindsight, right in the middle of my Saturn return, I was also going through that, right? And so I used to have this like devil and angel, right? I had this kind of saintly side of me that was all green juice and yoga. I'd just done my yoga teacher training qualification. I would do 5 rhythms classes on weekends. I was meditating every morning. I'd gone through a stage actually of being sort of abstaining from sex for a while and like had this kind of virginal white angelic version of myself. And then because it was really fucking hard to maintain and to keep up and stay in that space, I would then flip and pendulum all the way through to this, like, you know, there was kind of, as I said it, like the sinner and the saint. So then the sinner version of me would, like, go out and do loads of cocaine and party all night and sleep with other people's boyfriends, not on purpose. I didn't, like, go and look for it, but that's what I was attracting into my life. So I was always the mistress and didn't, and, like, would just pendulum backwards and forwards.
You're still the same person.
and flip between these two different things. And I remember being in therapy, and the wonderful, wonderful woman, Anna Lee, said to me, "There is middle ground, you know." And I was like, "Really? Where?" And for me, adulting now is that middle ground, right? Is that line between wildness and responsibility.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing from a healthy place, knowing from taking care of myself, knowing from coming from a place of wholeness rather than wounds, that it's okay to be both.
Yes.
Rather than constantly being in reaction, choosing a response.
100%. I was so in my good girl. Oh my God. Very, very conditioned to that. And even that word wild would only ever happen two bottles of wine in on a Friday night, right?
And I love that. So, in swapping our lives, I've, been traveling. And one of the reasons for this trip was to experience my own wildness, come home to my own wildness sober. And I you know, for those people who've met me on this trip, not completely 100% sober. You know, I'm actually in a really beautiful place right now with my with kind of substances, I suppose, or altered states, where I'm really truly able to have a drink or a couple of drinks and really enjoy it and know when I'm done and take myself off to bed. And as an ex-addict, I am not interested in being in spaces where there are lots of recreational drugs. And I have no judgment around other people taking them. It doesn't work for me and it isn't something I want to be around. But I'm really interested in this exploring wildness safely, consciously, you know, all of those things. And whether that is, like, all of those things that were at one time only accessible to me through the door of altered state.
Yeah.
Like, by, you know, I remember the first time I had sex sober, I was like, what is this?
Me too. It was a few years in, I have to admit. And I was like, this is like, wow, it was all about the being seen and the intimacy and all of those things. I was like, whoa, this is what it's really like. But yeah, I so identify with all of that. And finding that side of me and playing with this stuff, like, I haven't been drinking as much. Like, I'm nearly 38 and it's been, I probably was blackout drunk in my 20s twice a week. And in my 30s, it's maybe been twice a year and maybe not for a couple of years. So it's been this dramatic shift, but I've had to, like, come back and find that part within myself, because I would only let go and dance when I was drunk, and I would only, you know, have wild sex when I was drunk, and now I'm comfortable enough in myself to be able to do those things without that. And I've had some of my wildest moments now completely sober.
And I think that's so important, especially in, I feel like it's really important in the spiritual community and with a conscious edge to be able to talk about the good girl archetype, to be able to talk about still having sex, to be able to talk about still drinking, like, or alter states or playing around, because there are so many things, like, that there's kind of these new rules where it's like, oh yeah, so ayahuasca is a drug that it's okay to take because, you know, it's going to take us into a place of spirituality, but you mustn't get too drunk because, God forbid, like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's so twisted, right? So being a good girl, you know, traditionally, I have never smoked a cigarette and I'd never done drugs, right? I drunk excessively, like, let's be clear, but I'd never done those things. And then when I got into spirituality, I was like, you know, I'd done a lot of ayahuasca and cambo, and I'm like sitting in this, you know, someone's back garden, basically having tobacco blown up my nose. It was my first real experience of tobacco, and I was like, sitting there like, what are you doing, woman? Like, you've really gone to the other extreme with this. But justifying it because of, like, well, actually that first time was because of a camel experience, and I didn't really choose it, and I was like, my head feels like it's going to be blown off, and this feels really extreme. And so really my first, apart from being drunk, my first real experience of altered states, apart from also once being accidentally high, but just because I didn't think it was allowed, and I didn't think it was okay, and I didn't want to be a statistic, and I didn't want to disappoint my parents and all of those things, so I'd gone like too far the other way. But I've just to caveat that, but I went looking for the answers as well from a place of I need to be fixed and I'm broken. And it took me years to understand that that wasn't the case, and actually healing and transformation doesn't stick when you're coming at it from a place of I'm wounded, fix me. And when I had that flip into, oh, what if I'm doing this from a beautiful place of self-love and just wanting to be better, and I'm absolutely perfect as I am, the transformation's actually been faster, and it's stuck, and it's been a really different experience. But I also don't think, some of the most altered I've also been has not been on any plant medicine at all. Yeah. I've been doing some work called rewilding, and literally we dance and we invoke the energy of the goddess, and we shake and we roar and we wail, and you know, we're just like a room full of incredible women, just like fully unleashing and embodying whatever needs to come through. And when I first did some of that work, I was petrified of what was happening within other people. I'd never seen that level of emotion, like just raw.
And I think for me, it's so interesting. And we've talked about this a little bit. You know, my childhood and my upbringing was so unusual compared to so many people.
Yeah.
Right. So at 17, I was going to Five Rhythms classes weekly that my dad was running in Brixton, and would, you know, regularly dance completely sober with a room full of people, you know, in the most blissed out chaos, jumping up and down, howling, yeah, tears streaming down our faces. And it's really interesting to grow up in that kind of world where rewilding, you know, for me, there has been a journey of rewilding, but I also never left it, but I just felt judged for it. So there's so many edges to this. And one of the reasons that I love the work that I get to do in kind of in the Misfit to Maven, in the new program, Your Thing, Sure Thing, but in this stuff is like, bring people home to themselves and know, and allow people to really know, not just cognitively, but in their bodies, that no matter who you are, all of you is welcome, all of you belongs.
Yeah.
Because no, like my life operating from that orientation, my life knowing that, is so changed.
Oh, it's a completely different thing. And it's so funny, like you grew up dancing. I stopped dancing probably when I was like 5 and didn't start again until 35. And I would just resist it. I would be in Bali. They're like, yeah, let's go to ecstatic dance at yoga bar. And I'm like, no, please don't make me do that. I have to move my body in public. Like, this is excruciatingly painful. I think when I was like 14, I was at school in my step class, and the teacher asked me to go to the back of the room because I was putting her off because I was so behind in the beat. And so I'm just like, I have no rhythm. Like, this is horrible. And so I would like love a body pump class because I could just like stand there and I didn't have to move, you know, and I could be whatever. But so dance has been a massive challenge for me. And I would continue because it was such an edge. And I hated it so much. I was like, I must. I kept going though. And I think that's the thing. It's this stuff that we know we resist the most sometimes has the biggest gift for us.
Don't say that. Then I'm going to have to go and sing.
Right? You don't want to sing? Gotta go sing. So whatever you don't want to go and do, just go and fucking do it. And now I was like, my challenge to myself is like, I wanted to get to a place where I enjoy doing those things. And I remember last year after a whole bunch of ayahuasca in Peru and other things, coming back to Sydney, my friend invited me to it was a tantra and cacao night,
mm-hmm.
and I'd never done it. I didn't really know much about either, and I went along, drank the cacao, and I had the best night of my life, and I was like fully just dancing and just couldn't give a shit about what anybody else thought, and it was just, and I was like, oh, and it wasn't, and just even when I was in it, I wasn't like, oh, look at me. I was like, the end of the night, I was like, I enjoyed that,
mm-hmm.
and it was such a breakthrough for me, because I was like, oh, I mean, she had us like crawling around on the floor and growling at each other. I mean, it was hilarious, but I did it and just enjoyed it, and I was like, whoa, that is massive. And so it's funny, like we're all on these beautiful different journeys, but how you're probably like, how could that even be an edge for somebody, but other somebody else listening who's like, oh, I get it, dance, I don't dance unless I'm drunk, right?
Oh no, completely. and there was also this pressure so growing up different. In that environment, right? So one of the I really didn't enjoy. So I would never tell anyone, like, it's so interesting. I would never tell anyone who I was, and I would hide out in the corner, and I didn't enjoy being in the Five Rhythms class because I felt like people will know who I am and assume that because I'm his daughter, I get this shit, I'm not nervous, I'm completely confident in my own body, whilst also going through, you know, fat girl stuff. I'm the only fat person in my family, and everybody else is tall and lithe and beautiful. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not dissing myself in that way. I'm beautiful, and I'm really happy to own that.
Yes, you
but
are.
Thank you. But I am fat also, right? And it's been...
I like to call mine cuddly now. I'm like, I'm really good for cuddles, by the way.
Well, and yeah, like that's a whole thing in itself. Like taking ownership of those words,
yeah,
and like playing with the... like just noticing the weight of the words, and like how, you know, and I've talked about it a lot in my book, but I didn't feel like I had permission as a fat person to have fun, right? Like, so it wasn't okay to dance because I might enjoy it. And as a fat person, you're not allowed to have fun, right? And that genuinely ran through my head for such a long time. Like I couldn't wear a bikini or run around on the beach because people would see me having fun, and like, God forbid a fat person was having fun.
Oh.
And so for me, a lot of the rewilding, I suppose, has been coming back into a body that is mine, taking ownership of it and being allowed to enjoy being in this body, to being allowed to enjoy sex, being allowed to enjoy dancing. Not that anyone was ever walking around and going, you must not enjoy that, but it felt like that.
Yeah, it's just giving yourself permission. I again, of course, I resonate because we resonate with everything, I think. But it was my type when I was I've done a lot of travel over the years, and I used to be in that place, and I've always struggled with my weight as well, like since I was about 16. And I was like, well, when I lose the weight, I'll go traveling, when I lose the weight I'll do whatever. And I remember I made a decision when I was going to take a year out and finally go traveling, and I wasn't in the way I wanted to be, and I was like, I just said to myself, I was like, you will not do anything on this trip due to your weight concerns. You will put the bikini on, you will jump in the waterfall of everybody else's, you will do the thing, like, and you would have to do it because you might never lose the weight, and you can't never jump in a fucking waterfall with a whole bunch of friends and have a good time. So
yeah,
I made that decision that I wasn't going to continue to let it stop me from doing things and hold myself back.
And I have to have that, no, I don't have to, I choose to have that pep talk with myself. I know, like, so I recently posted a picture of me in a bikini on Santa Monica Beach on my Instagram. And for me, that was a huge thing to do. I mean, it isn't, right? It's just, it's something I wear every day now, right? Like when it's hot. But it still felt edgy to share something like that. Particularly,
I haven't posted on Instagram.
Yeah, okay, but
I'm just,
and I mean, no one's gonna go running to have a look at this point.
They might. If they don't, I'd be shocked. Cute bikini.
But it really is about, like, you know, just because we're further down these lines than people listening, or because, like, the point I'm trying to make is that it isn't easy. It isn't like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go and do this thing, right? There's a conscious choice of like giving myself a pep talk, giving myself the kick up the ass, being like, you can wait until you're a size 12 if you want, or you can wait till you're a size 10, or you can wait until you think you are skinny enough to enjoy this experience, and you might be dead, or you know, you might never come back here again, or this situation with these people and this opportunity for you to like skinny dip in this lake mm-hmm. with your friend. It's never going to happen again. Yeah. So are you in or are you not in? And that, when I talk to my clients about micro decisions, it's like, it's those micro decisions, mm. the saying yes or the giving yourself the pep talk,
yeah.
that changes your reality.
Mm. Two moments came, just flashed into my head with that. And I, one of my friends back in Sydney, she's a bigger girl as well. She just said to me one day, she just looked at me and she went, "Joanna, you know, fat people can be loved too." And she absolutely hit me right in the center of my chest. And I was like, oh my God. And she had this beautiful doting husband, baby, you know, was living a beautiful life, but, and I was not close to the size she was, but I wasn't allowing myself that. And I was like, oh my God, it hadn't even, but it was okay for them and it was okay for her. But for me, that wasn't part of my rule book. That wasn't okay. Like yeah. I have this vision, like I have to be perfect. Like I have to look like absolutely perfect.
And for me, that's what rewilding really is. Like rewilding yeah. is actually rewriting the rules about what is acceptable behavior for you.
Mm. And yeah. I've been just even recently coming into that place. And I have to say this like just going for it anyway. When I lived in Australia, I was about 5 years ago when I moved there. I was like maybe six. I really wanted to, well, partly to meet boys, was become a volunteer surf lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes joke that the only thing it actually has in common with Baywatch is me running in slow motion on the beach. But again, that for me, I was probably about this weight I am now, which is not slim by any stretch of the imagination, but it basically involved running up and down the beach in a swimsuit for 6 weeks. And just being very, very exposed. And the first, I was turned up for the swim test, but I really wanted to be part of this and part of the community because I'd moved to Australia. And I was like, I really also wanted to give back, but it was more about the community and the social and actually getting outside and getting exercise and being on the beach. And I thought, I was turning up for a swim test and I had to swim 400 meters in the ocean in, oh, I think 8 or 9 minutes. I can't remember. And I was like, I've got that covered. And so I turned up in my swimsuit thinking that's what we had to do. And they were like, okay, so we're just going to warm up before we get in the water. And that warm up involved like running lengths of the beach, push-ups, press-ups, all this kind of stuff. And I'm in a swimsuit. And I have, I mean, double G boobs, right? Like there's no way, and my thighs rub, right? So there's no way I should ever be running up and down the beach in a swimsuit. It should be illegal, right? And I'm like, oh God, oh God. And it was this moment, it's like, do I do it or do I not do it? And I just had to just fall into line in the back,
well, and
hold my boobs, oh, there are so many running up and down the beach.
Right?
And I'm like,
because life is a series of moments of like double G boobs like, running on the beach. Like everything says, swimsuit. This
oh,
is difficult.
Oh,
this
God.
Is inconvenient for me. Right? Like, am I showing up or not? Yeah.
It's all those things.
Oh, I love this. I love this. We have whipped through our time together.
Oh my God.
I want people to find out more. You and I are going to do tons more stuff together because we've just got so much stuff that we want to share with the world. If people want to go and find out more about you, come and follow you, find out more about the programs they can do with you, all of that sort of stuff, where's the best place for them to come?
Well, I'm obsessed with Instagram at the moment. So at The Float Alchemist, Joanna Turner. I'm Facebook page, Joanna Turner. Or joannaturner.com. So.
Cool. We'll put on the show notes everything so people can click through really, really yeah. easily. Do you want to finish with an I'm an adult but?
I'm an adult but I can still have fun.
I think you stole mine. I am an adult. But I really love... But yeah, running up and down on the beach, and wouldn't it be cool if there was a day, I mean, not that running up and down on a beach with no top on is actually fun for girls with big boobs, but I would love to see the day where it was really okay for us to do that,
yeah.
because I get really pissed off that as an adult it's not okay for me to just hang out with no top on the beach. I mean, in some countries it absolutely is more okay than in others.
Just to finish that though, I became an instructor for that program.
Yeah.
And at every induction for the newbies, I would stand up at the front of the class and be like, okay, and girls, the first day will involve some running on the beach. Please wear a sports bra under your swimsuit and feel free to bring a pair of shorts. Because I was like, no other woman needs to go through this again. So I felt like I, you know, that was my gift back.
Well done for that. Thanks on behalf of all of those women who came and ran on the beach with you. Yeah. Thanks for coming and chatting with me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, love.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.